is us like learning in public and like trying to
literally learning in public.
Yeah.
We were at Vancouver Public Library. Yes. There are glass doors. Yes. We are literally learning in public.
Pulling back the curtain of silence.
And learning what freedom feels like. I'm Nick.
And I'm Lala. This is Seen. Brown-eyed activism.
Healing at the intersections.
There's this idea of personal growth and development that sometimes enters into this like almost sanitized, corporatized, careerized, I don't know. We talk about, you know, being in a growth mindset, and there's this ton of messaging and importance placed on the need for mentorship and career coaching and performance coaching and to excel and grow professionally. And there's this entire industry that surrounds that culture. And I feel for so long, this was all I ever thought of when I was thinking about growth or what growth looked like, you know, even personal growth. I was like, fuck that personal. It means professional, really. And my framing was always about growth equaled success. And it's only now in my later 20s where I'm really realizing that that doesn't actually align with who I am or where I want to be. And so I'm really recalibrating a lot of things and flipping things on their head. So I wanted to take this episode to discuss what growth is, how we define it, how we can recognize growth within ourselves, because I think sometimes that can be really challenging given the fact that growth is often this slow, daily, sometimes painful journey. And we can internalize really unrealistic expectations about, you know, whether if we're not in the place where we believe we should be, we will never get there. And I think I just want to discuss sort of what that journey might have been like for what it's been like for me anyways. And I also want to talk a bit about how growth is a required ingredient for our personal healing and also in collective liberation. Because I've been struggling in many ways in my personal and professional, specifically my professional life in the past few months. And I think it's interesting to realize just before we started recording how much change in trajectory for me is making me feel more aligned to my own personal healing goals and my own personal goals for what I want for our collective liberation. So yeah, I'm excited about this episode. I want to know how you're feeling.
Yeah, really excited. You told me you were going to be putting this topic together, and I'm just really excited to see the angle you're taking and maybe hear about what some of this journey's been like for you.
Yeah, I'm stoked. So I actually wanted to ask, first off, what is your relationship and maybe what's your hot take on like the personal goals, hustle hard culture, personal development hoopla that is so pervasive in our millennial sort of generation? Have you ever felt the same pressure? And like, what's your hot take?
Yeah, it's very seductive. I think it's like a really, for me at least, a really like attractive kind of idea or mindset, the idea that we just need to become the fullest expressions of ourselves and then everything will sort of fall into place. And, you know, waking up being the best you every day and pushing that farther and farther leads to more and more growth. And then, you know, inevitably it leads to like wealth and success and all your dreams coming true.
Right.
It's a great idea. I love it.
Like in theory, it's nice.
Yeah, in theory. But then you start to see how the capitalist tie-in, how ableist it is, how individualist it is, all of those like isms. And also just how, I guess, not only unrealistic, I mean, humans aren't machines. Like we're not just made to continually grow. Like that's one state we can be in. It's not the only one.
Right.
But it's certainly the most like sexy one.
Absolutely. Yeah. I never thought about the fact that we're in the context of living in a society where, you know, we're always told to like grow and achieve and do and be productive. And that's one of the things. At first I wanted to talk about productivity. And then I realized like I actually don't want to talk about productivity. I don't want to talk about I was going to talk about it from the perspective of like this pressure to need to produce, but then I realized that was in the context of like a bigger conversation about growth. So that's another little zigzag.
I love that.
But I guess I'm curious because I feel the same way about you, like that you feel when it comes to like the hustle hard millennial culture that we're all swimming in. What was your idea of growth when you were younger? Like, can you compare how you perceived or how you thought of, in the same way that for me, I used to always think that growth meant like being successful and like, and it was about goals. Like it was more about achieving personal goals than it was about anything else. So I guess I'm just curious, did you have a different perspective or idea about what growth was? Or can you even look back and notice a shift in what you perceive it to be now?
Yeah, that's interesting. Because when I look back, I guess it depends how far we go back. I mean, I think the first time I remember growth really being on my radar was in undergrad. And it actually was more of a personal growth healing thing at that time because I was struggling so much and going through a lot. And it was about trying to be more like mentally well, but also trying to be sort of good enough, sort of feeling like constantly in these bad situations or experiencing harm and wanting to sort of be good enough, wanting to heal so that I wasn't going to be hurt like that more. So that's the first time I remember it. But it was more personal, but it came from this deficit place. And then I think in my mid-20s, I was wanting to catch up from that. So because I had never really had a chance to focus on goals because I was so focused on surviving, I wasn't happy with where I was in life. And I was very miserable and was sort of wanting to like figure out this exact like millennial hustle thing of like, okay, how do I actualize like who I am so that I can be successful in these particular ways? I think now I'm still, I think right now, like during this pandemic and actually during my health crisis leading up to it, I think I'm actually thinking beyond those things, maybe even for the first time, to really try to figure out what does growth and healing look like when it's not so that I'll be good so I can then, you know, do the capitalist goals, achieving, fast-paced, hustling thing. What might it look like when it's from a more maybe
embodied place?
Embodied place, a place that honors, you know, the being that I am beyond these systems of capitalism and ableism and all of those things.
So it's like it's expanding even now in real time.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so I feel the same way. I mean, we're moving in very different directions and I think having different experiences completely, but I've definitely noticed a huge shift in my own, just the way that I want to be moving in my own head. Not even about external things, that's the thing. For such a long time, I was like defining growth as, okay, so you know how in Insecure, Molly and Issa are talking about like, know better, do better. Like that is like the kind of phrasing that they use to like hold each other accountable, for example. Mm-hmm. And I would agree with that. Like that's like a very foundational point in growth. But I think as you were saying, what does growth look like for like yourself outside of all the capitalist, cis, hetero, patriarchal fuck shit that we have to wade through? Mm-hmm. And then I was rethinking about know better, do better. And I was like, there's something missing about that. There's like know better, do better. And then it's like be better. Like, you know, how do you embody that in a way that's not just about what people are perceiving? Because like knowing and doing, you can show people that stuff. But being better is like you actually have to do the work internally. And so, yeah, I wonder as a therapist, I'm sure that you see a lot of different types of people that you get to support and provide care to. And I guess I wonder how you define growth from a therapeutic standpoint.
I don't know. I definitely don't have a concise definition. So that's a little disclaimer up front.
Learning but in public.
Yeah. I mean, what's coming to mind for me really is, I think you probably do somatic work in therapy. I went to your therapist also. I've also gone to your therapist. So I know what kind of work I do with her. Do you do like the somatic?
Can you describe what that means or what that might
look
like?
Yeah, where like if you're feeling you know, an emotion or you're talking about a thing that's going on in your life, it's like, well, okay, how are you, what's happening in your body? How do you feel that? And kind of communicating with that feeling in your body about like what it needs, what it wants, what it's trying to do for you.
Sure.
Like,
yes. Yeah. Definitely done lots of that in therapy.
Yes. Yeah. That's been one of the most valuable things of my work in therapy. And what I've learned from that is that our systems are urging themselves forward. There's all these parts of us that sometimes are painful, but they are doing something for us for a reason.
Right.
And when we communicate with them and with all of the parts of ourselves, we can usually find what our system needs. Like, what does it need in order to feel safe? Maybe we want to move beyond safety, but how do we get there? Like, what would we need to support us? So for me, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of taking that next step. It's like, what do I need? How can I meet that need? And then what's the next step that allows me to take? Because I think like the things that we consciously want, they're important too. But I think that needs to be supported by something else. And I think often once we really get into our needs and what's happening at that deeper level, I have this thing about this. I didn't come up with this. Let's just say that. But the idea that the subconscious mind is the body.
Can I ask more questions about what that means? Yeah. Or can you gonna explain that?
So, I mean, it's the idea that like we're getting all this information from our body at all times, but most of us, we're not like that tuned in or consciously aware. So we're kind of getting these signals and we don't know where they come from. And so a lot of times it's like, oh, I consciously want this, but, you know, something I seem to be getting in my own way. What's happening subconsciously? Well, when we connect with our body, we can often end up figuring that out because those subconscious signals are coming from the body.
True. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm bringing this up because I think there's an integration that needs to happen where like we might consciously want something, but once we're like integrating the subconscious or the body, I think it can change our direction. It doesn't always, but it can. It can definitely change our direction. And so for me, I guess therapeutic growth, it's connecting with ways that I want to grow, but it's also connecting with something maybe bigger or deeper than just what I consciously want, if that makes sense. And it's more about like what my system needs. And maybe it's about connecting to like a bigger, you know, a spiritual whole. Maybe there's like maybe a bigger order of things. I don't know. So I don't know. I gave you the disclaimer that it wasn't going to be concise, but those are sort of my like feelings about it.
A lot of sense. When you're talking about connecting to things that might even be bigger than just like my own needs, but beyond that, and maybe in a more spiritual sense, it kind of makes me think of like, in the same way that you're talking about tuning into your body and what your body needs and how your body's maybe responding to certain things that are happening around you, but you've never been able to articulate because there's been a gap between feeling something in your body and honoring it, that as like a source of information that can help you understand yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that's almost like the sort of practice in my mind of just going with that natural flow. Because I think a lot of the times for me, the reasons that I have learned to, or the ways that I've learned to negate my body or reject my body or not listen to my body are taught all around me. Like those are things that I picked. It's not like I just like have that as a natural teaching that is inherent to myself. Like that's what we're taught. We're taught that your body, and like sometimes if you have something going on physiologically, it's really just, it could be made up. It could be something that's just like, oh, who knows what that's really about. We never really are taught, I think, in my case, like as a child, I wasn't taught about how if you feel types of ways in your body, it could be something more than just like, oh, you have a stomach ache. Like, you know, and I've learned for myself, for example, that when I'm having like problems in my gut, it's usually tied to my anxiety. It's usually tied to something a lot bigger than just that gut. And once I even have that thought, I'm like, oh, that's what that is. The feeling in my stomach can dissipate. Like the amount of power that it has that I have found in knowing what's actually happening with myself, and the language that you're able to develop as well, I think is just like, I totally understand what you're saying. It wasn't a neat and tidy answer, but I get it. And I feel it. Like it does resonate deeply And so one of my next questions for you is going to be, how have you seen therapy support your own personal healing and growth? And you kind of just answered that. Like, you were talking about it in the context of like the people that you're supporting, but also for yourself.
Yes, totally. It's so important to me to have that space to build that stronger relationship and communication with the self. And working with our therapist for so long.
Our therapist. It's like we see her together, but like separate.
Yeah, separately. But it's been such a powerful influence of my whole worldview, as well as my view of myself. So it's definitely been the strongest environment for me for figuring out beyond all the stuff out there, whether it's in the culture, in my family, in my social groups, whatever, beyond all that, like, what's true for me? What do I believe? How do I see the world? How do I see myself? And yeah, it's there's nothing that really replaces that space.
Not at
all.
How
have you found therapy?
Therapy?
Yeah.
I think it's just given me a lot more It's given me the tools to be able to pull back the curtain on myself and interrogate parts of myself in ways that are more constructive than in the past. In the past, right. I would see like sensations in my body or feelings that I would have or emotions as something that I needed to either suppress or get over, or right. or something that I needed to just move through, like put it in a box and compartmentalize it. Whereas now, I think I'm in a better place where I'm able to recognize that just putting those things in a box and pushing through, I can do that. Like, I've been doing that, but the result of that has not been me growing in the ways that I want to grow. And so I feel like therapy, yeah, it's just like given me a lot more patience with myself and given me a lot more compassion for all of the messiness that I used to say is not really worth dealing with. It's like me now honoring that and honoring dealing with it and seeing that as a sacred thing as opposed to a shameful thing.
Yeah. And it's amazing the fertile ground that's created when you're in this space that's not judgmental, where all of you is welcome, where like all those parts of yourself that you're just so used to being like, ugh, like this part again,
yes.
I hate this part, like this part needs to shut up. Having somebody who's there and is like, hey, no, like I want to hear from this part.
Yes.
Hey part, like thank you for being here. What do you have to say?
Yes.
Like this is important. It's like it just creates this environment where suddenly all of the parts of you can be heard and wow.
It's
the growth
wow.
that allows for.
Exactly. And I think there's been so many points, and I can't even really, you know me, I have a really shitty memory, but I remember feelings very well. Like I'm a good remember of feelings. And so I think I've now been able to place and ascribe value to those feelings in a way that I just never had before.
Right.
And so I want to talk about, and even just that reflection and us being able to have a conversation about it is like, that is growth. Like I'm so excited that we can have this conversation, that we can do this podcast, because like I'm growing, but I'm also not recognizing that I'm growing. And it's been, I like being able to sit down and reflect on things is what I'm trying to say.
You were saying earlier that, you know, we're growing in such different ways, and we are, but I also think the fact that we do this together and we have these conversations about healing and liberation together, it feels like there's sort of a parallel as well, because we're building these ideas of what it means to heal and liberate ourselves together. And
yes.
I really like feel that kind of underlying path that we're taking together, even though on the surface what we're doing is, you know, very different in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I didn't mean that like we're going in different directions.
This is the episode
where we break up the podcast and
surprise
plot twist. You didn't expect that
growth
to happen.
And when we outgrow
so I'm growing
things,
out
know?
Of Lala, like I'm just growing in another direction. Yeah, that would be so funny. Surprise.
That would be funny. Never do that to me.
Just like break up
Although
with
I'd
you on the
to...
podcast. Like what the fuck.
Wow.
Who does that shit? But I want to talk a bit about what, because as we're talking about it, on the surface, it might look like we're growing in different ways, but there's an underlying kind of mutual growth that's happening together. I want to talk about what personal growth could look like, because I think so much of my existence in life, one, because I have a shitty memory, but two, because you don't really, like a lot of the time growth is happening. And like I was saying, it's slow, it's painful, it's daily. And then you look back at it and you're like, damn, that ass, damn, that growth. See, I said, look back at it. Okay. So anyways, I wanted to talk about a little bit about just like what personal growth has looked like for me. So growth for me has looked like setting boundaries and honoring them. Nina Simone sang this song, "You've got to learn to leave the table when love is no longer being served." And sometimes growth for me has also looked like sometimes it's okay to just set yourself free from the shits. Like just go and don't apologize anymore and just move, break free. Totally. Growth for me has looked like listening to the wisdom of my own gut, finding wisdom in my mom's words and my mom's examples, not fighting with myself when I know the truth, which is huge because I sometimes I'm just like, that's ugly. I don't want to talk about that. It's messy. And now I'm just like, no, but like, this is a part of who you are. And in the same vein, growth for me has looked like accepting my flaws, believing myself and believing in myself, releasing control and surrendering to the present moment, trusting that I'm worthy. This is one big thing that I want us to come back to because I think that's kind of the foundation and bedrock of what growth in terms of like the collective looks like is worthiness. Growth has looked like communicating clearly about what I need and feeling no guilt about it, learning how to take a compliment, remembering that I need people, specifically I need Black women, I need Black femmes, learning that I'm not meant to be sad and miserable, huge point of growth, huge amounts of growth. Finding that sex is good for me. I like sex. So I like, it's good. I should, that's growth. It's a huge amount of growth as a recovering Christian. Massive.
Yeah.
And sorry, when I say sex, I mean premarital sex. So just contextualizing that.
Outside of marriage.
Outside of marriage. Sinning. and I'm just going to, I'll fly through the rest of these. So growth has also looked like, you know, only going where people will have me, not forcing myself to sit at anybody's raggedy ass table when they don't even want me to be there in the first place. Right. Growth has looked like, this is huge because I'm a big shit talker. Growth has looked like if I don't like the way that somebody does something, I just say that's them. And I don't, I just don't let it fuck with my energy. I'm just like, I'm not even going to give them the energy of getting judgmental in my mind. Who the fuck cares? Yeah. This is not about me. This is a personal them thing. And then last one, Amanda Seale said today, growth for me has also looked like not letting politeness get in the way of progress or politeness getting in the way of purpose.
Ugh. Honestly, fuck politeness. Like politeness, it's all right, but there are so many better values.
And I think, yeah, we could have a whole like conversation about nice versus kind.
Yes. Yeah. And like, respectful versus polite.
Totally. Yeah. So anyways, I wanted to ask you, did any of those things resonate with you? Are there any things you would like to add? What growth has looked like for you?
I don't know if I have anything to add. That list was amazing. And yes, it all resonated. Maybe the only thing that I can think of right now is allowing myself to be angry, like realizing that my anger is valuable and has a really sacred place for me, for my communities.
I love that. That's a huge thing too, I think, as women of color, because the world tells us that our anger is like for naught. Like, why are we so angry? We're always fucking pressed about shit. We're always angry and upset and blah, blah, blah. We internalize that as well. And how, like, why wouldn't we? How could, it's such a revolutionary thing to believe that your anger is a sacred source of information and power and can be, you know, supportive.
It is. Yeah. It's so hard. My sister and I were talking about this the other night that we were really raised in so many ways to not take up space. And it's so hard to unlearn that shit. Like when that's your default, you know, we think we've made this progress on taking up space and then it kind of just comes at you in a different way. So yeah, another thing growth is maybe is learning the same lesson over and over and over again, but like in all kinds of different ways, like it shows up for you with different faces. And then you just have to like attack like a different hook that's been put in you somehow and like unhook that one. And then like you think you're good. And then later you're like, oh, there's another hook. I got to get that one out too. And it's just a constant process that never ends.
Oh, that made me feel great. I love it. I love it. Thank you. And I think one thing that you're, as you're talking about all these different hooks and these different facets of unlearning sometimes and learning, like the sort of duality of oh, I didn't realize that vanity could come from this side of me, or that, you know, the need to keep up appearances could come from this side of me, or whatever. Yeah. The things that we're socially conditioned to believe or ascribe value to. Now I want to talk about how growth is an ingredient for collective liberation. The end game of personal growth is not just like you, it's everybody. I want to speak a little bit about how our social movements and our fight against injustice and speaking truth to power have to always be tied to some sort of vision of the world that we wish existed. I think we miss out when we don't take the leap from personal growth to collective growth, like when we just stop in our own little bubble, in our own little circle, and we don't use the expanded sides of us that have been able to like actualize worthiness, for example, and insert that in ways that are actually moving our communities in directions that we want them to.
Yeah, I do really believe that if we're doing our own growth work and we are actualizing ourselves and we are tuning into what feels right in our bodies, that inevitably will clash with, you know, bigger systems outside of ourselves, because there's so much injustice in our world. And I think it's unnatural. That's my belief. And
I would agree with you on that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that clash is going to happen. And so then I think part of, for me at least, that growth is not turning away from that, like kind of taking that clash to its logical conclusion, which is that can't stand, you know, that needs to be fought against in some way. And I think you really made such an important point there. Like, I mean, what's the point if all we're doing ever is reacting to what's wrong without any vision of how things should be? It's like we're still locked within the system, right? Like we're just like taking a different role within the same system. We need this vision of how we want things to be, because otherwise, like, what are we even moving towards? What are we working for?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think like growth in my mind is a required ingredient for collective liberation, because it keeps us pushing forward and not settling for less than what we deserve as people.
Right.
As people who have been made marginalized, not as marginalized people. Like, that's not our identity. Our identity is not as, we're not marginalized people. We've been made vulnerable. We've been made marginalized. And I think growth and social justice and collective liberation, it looks like us revisiting our values and what we deem as important, and how we respond to injustice, and how we move our efforts, and how we see ourselves specifically as being worthy. I was watching, I posted it to my Instagram. You know, by the way, just like gonna tell you in advance that our BIPOC of the week is Amanda Seales for like the bajillionth time. And I'm gonna tell you why later, but part of it's part of what I was gonna say is I was watching an Instagram live between Angela Rye, who's a political commentator, and Amanda Seales, and they were talking specifically about both of those two very brilliant, very just amazing, expansive Black women have been really critical about the fact that Joe Biden, who is, you know, Joe Biden is...
we talked about this all day yesterday. Listen, we're just like, what the fuck?
What the fuck is going on? And so if you don't know, now you'll know. Joe Biden went on a interview, and Charlemagne the God, aka Leonard, was interviewing him and asking him some really hard questions and really pressing him about his Black agenda, like how he's actually going to show up for Black people if he becomes president in the American elections at the end of the year. And Joe Biden said something to the effect of, well, if you have to choose between voting for me and you vote for Trump, you ain't Black. I kid you not, there are literal shirts that the Donald Trump people, they're already making shirts that says hashtag you ain't Black, and then quoting Joe Biden. So Joe Biden made a big fucking boo-boo. And Amanda Seales went on her Instagram and she talked about how it's really, really important for us to have expectations and think critically. And by us, I mean Black people, but this is specifically, she's talking about Black people in America. Black Americans are required to pause and think whether or not the person who is being sold to them as a no-brainer default option, like Joe Biden, really is right for Black people. That's what she said. People then went and started like, you know, contorting her words and saying that like, what you're saying is that we should be voting for Donald Trump then. And she's like, if that's what you're taking from this conversation, that's wild. But Amanda Seales and Angela Rye were talking together on their Instagram live about how it's really important for Black Americans to no longer be walking in the sort of frame of mind that we need Joe Biden as Black people. They were like, Joe Biden needs us. We need to start valuing ourselves in such a way that we make demands. Black people have literally floated the states for centuries, have survived oppression, have been marginalized, have been made marginalized, have a track record of still providing and offering and growing America as it is. So we have a track record to stand on, is what she's saying, and we can make demands because we are worthy. And I was thinking, like, holy shit, that's a huge shift, because I think a lot of the times, if we are seeing ourselves as we're marginalized, we have needs. And she's like, we should see ourselves as being made marginalized, and we should have demands. And the demands are what we really want, not just like the bare minimum of like, we hope that you would, I don't know. It's like, what is it that we actually want to see happen that isn't happening, that we've never seen? That's why it's so fucking mind-blowing for people. People are saying like, oh, you two are talking about voting for Trump instead of voting for Biden. And she's like, no, I'm saying we need to be envisioning what we want and making demands about those envisions and those things that we actually desire in the world for us.
Yeah, and I love that shift too, that you're talking about from marginalized to made marginalized. And especially when you said there, like, we're marginalized, we have needs. And I think that's so, that paradigm is forced on us, that narrative that we're needy, that we have a deficit, that we, you know, we're poor, we're ill, we're all of these things. Mm-hmm. And to realize that we're not inherently any of those things, that we have been deprived, we have been oppressed, we have been violated in so many ways that causes these symptoms, but those symptoms are not inherent to who we are. And so we don't need to be coming from this place of like, oh, please help me. It's like, fucking stop oppressing me.
Stop killing
and
me. Stop.
Yeah. Stop yeah. killing me. And why would I turn out to vote for you if otherwise? That's why I actually really loved Charlamagne's answer, because it was at the end of the interview. I didn't watch the entire interview. I just watched this end.
What did
and
you say?
Where Charlamagne was saying, oh, well, you'll have to come back. How hard is it to just say, yes, I would love to come back? Instead, he says, you know, if you don't know who you're going to choose between Trump and me, then you ain't black. And Charlamagne, without missing a beat, was like, it's not about Trump. It's about actually wanting things for my community.
Yes.
It's just when the best thing you can say for yourself is that you're not Donald Trump.
That's real
fucking
shit.
Sad.
Yeah.
And like, why should anybody turn out to vote for you? Like, all of the things that black people have in the U.S., I'm going to go ahead and say, are not because of the charity of someone like Joe Biden. It's because of the hard work of black communities to build those things.
With all the cards stacked up against them. Yeah, yeah. One of the things that Amanda was saying is like, we need to get out of this idea that our backs are up against the wall. Mm-hmm. We need to start seeing all the amazing things we've already overcome as a people. Because people are saying, oh, you know, we can't handle 4 more years of this person. She's like, you know that as a people, we've survived way worse, like way the fuck worse. So when we have that knowledge and that power, that we have that legacy inherent in us, in our blood and in our fucking DNA, that means that we walk out in the world and we make demands based off of what we know we deserve. I could talk about this for forever. Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community and we cannot do this without you. And I kind of just want to start to focus now on how we can support ourselves and continue to usher in growth. Because I think we've said a lot, and hopefully some of the stuff is resonating it's resonated for me. So I don't know. That's all I can say. But one of the...
That's what we do here. We just have conversations that we love and hope you like it.
And yeah, let us know. click subscribe. But I kind of just want to offer a couple of little tidbits and entry points that we might want to employ to support us in like accepting and ushering in our own growth, you know, and one of them being just like celebrating the little wins that don't feel like they're that big of a deal. Remembering that the day-to-day sort of building of who you are as a person and the choices that you make amount to something. Like, even though we can't see mm-hmm. what they amount to, it's a huge, slow, painful process, but it's brilliant work that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Being honest with yourself. I need to be honest with myself about areas in which I'm settling. And usually mm-hmm. when we say settling, we think about like settling in a job and settling in a relationship. But it's like, how about settling for who you are right now? Like, what are ways that you are just like, you know, not giving yourself time and room and space and validity to just exist? Like, what could that look like?
I love that you brought those things up together, because I think often people will think, this has been a huge thing for me, sort of thinking, if I am not just constantly like hard on myself and pushing myself, then that means that I'm not growing. And so I need to like constantly be sort of criticizing myself and telling myself like, get better at this, get better at that, like that's somehow supporting growth. And I think often we miss that part where like, you actually are going to get more work done if you sleep tonight and get back at it tomorrow than if you were to try to work 36 hours straight. We kind of need to extrapolate that to a bigger level, that like, we can't be constantly pushing ourselves, because we also need to rest. And resting and letting things settle and allowing ourselves to just exist and just be, that is so necessary to grow. Like, growth is not always that forward motion. Like, sometimes it looks like there's nothing happening, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's such a good point. I love it, because in the beginning of this conversation, you were like, we're trained to think that we just continue to grow. Like, growth is just like every day you're just growing and growing and growing yeah. exponentially. And it's like, sometimes growth is just stillness. Like, sometimes that is the gift of that's a gift in and of itself. And that can give you something that you can use for later that has nothing to yeah. do with you progressing, quote unquote, progressing yeah. in life in that way.
Cycles exist. If you yes. look at nature, right? It's like plants. They need time. Like, sometimes you just see nothing. You just see like the dirt and nothing's happening. And eventually a sprout comes up and there is something happening underneath the surface.
Yes.
It's like, sometimes it's not the time to be like pushing out. You also just need to exist, and that's okay too.
Yes. Yes. Oh, let's do BIPOC of the week, because it's going to be about Amanda Seales. And I think it's funny, because like the running joke for whenever I speak is like, Amanda Seales is always my BIPOC of the week, mostly because I consume a lot of her media. The reason that I like talking about her so much, and the thing that fascinates me the most about her, is that she is kind of the embodiment of a person who is in real time. You can see her shifting and moving in ways that make you know that she values who she is as a person. And I have her book. I listen to her podcast. I follow her on Instagram. She's my best friend in my head. And I've really enjoyed watching her movement. And she talks about it in her book a lot on her podcast, about how she started off as a child actor. And then she moved and she did. She was like a host on like MTV. And then she was like in hip hop and a singer. And then she changed her name to Amanda Diva. And like all these different parts of who she has been, and they're very public parts. And then also her moving into being a comedian, and the amount of she's just very politically astute and has a really amazing, clear and very often misunderstood. People always see her as like combative, and she is to this and to that or whatever. And I think for all those reasons, and the complexity and the humanity of who she is, because a lot of who she puts up on her socials, and you kind of get to see a very unfiltered and in many ways quote unquote biased perspective. And I love being able to see how somebody is growing in real time and not being afraid to make mistakes and to own them and to move and accomplish the things that she's accomplished, and still at her core and her essence really be a brilliant voice for an example of what Black women who are owning themselves and owning and embodying who they want to be, what that looks like in real time. I think there's a really big, there's a big missing gap, I think, when it comes to the gap is the pressure that we place on ourselves to like be perfect when it comes to like social media and how we show up and how we want people to think of us versus how we actually are. And I've been really pleasantly supported and validated and feel really seen myself when I watch her get frustrated and get emotional, and when people are undermining her as a Black woman, undermining her Blackness, undermining her her dedication to the Black community, undermining her contributions to the Black community, undermining just like every facet of her getting picked apart. And I truly, firmly believe that Black women, women of color, Indigenous women, were not put on this earth to just be like a battering ram for people to just like shit on all the time. Nor is it a noble thing to like continue to frame Black women's growth in the context of how much they can tolerate from the hatred of other people. But I will say that despite both of those things, and despite all the people who have wished her harm openly, publicly, she has always been able to maintain a soul obligation to herself and a soul obligation to making sure that people understand who she is. And so I think that to me is really the embodiment of growth, where you're able to continue to walk in your purpose, to not like cower when people are saying this and this and that about you, and to holding true to your own values in a way that makes people that uncomfortable that they have more shit to say about you.
I love that you're bringing up, you know, the fact that she isn't afraid to make mistakes in public, that she's, you know, gone through all these sort of iterations of herself and let it be in front of the world. Because I think we talk a lot about, you know, not being afraid to make mistakes and being flawed and accepting that and all those kind of not needing to be perfect, letting go of perfectionism and all that kind of thing. We talk about it, but it's one thing to talk about it. It's a one thing, another thing to actually do it. And I think even in our last episode, we were talking about, you know, can we accept the parts that are ugly without trying to make them beautiful? You know, like having like beautiful flaws, or, you know, without trying to fit everything into a recovery narrative. So like the idea of I was hurt, but now I've recovered, or this is, you know, my path to, right?
Yes.
And I'm not even sure I fully know what those things, I ask those questions, but I'm not sure I fully even understand what those things mean yet. But I think this is a big part of it, that idea of actually making mistakes and being flawed and letting people see that. And can we integrate that into our view of who we are, instead of sort of needing to make it okay and, well, maybe this thing about me outweighs that, or because I handled it in this way that means that I'm okay. Can we just like integrate that we have this messiness and that's part of who we are too, and it doesn't in any way detract from our worthiness or our value?
Yes. Yes. Thank you. That's like, that's exactly what it is. I firmly believe that as like queer, Black women of color, we are the undisputed world champions of nuance and holding all the things at the same fucking time. And so more than ever, I'm just really aware of all of the people whose ideas and blessings and words and perspectives have really supported my own growth. And so one of the things that I wanted to leave our listeners with is a way that we can integrate the personal growth and collective liberation is continuing to honor and connect to and say, give thanks and uplift the people that have been supporting our growth, because that's just like a mutually generative thing. The more that you are able to connect with, the more that I can be honest with myself and be like, I did not get here by myself. I needed other people. Other people's words yes. really supported me. Other people's the examples of themselves doing what they do really supported me. Mm-hmm. I just think that that knowledge then allows us to turn around and like do the same thing for other people. And that's part of that like collective expansion together.
Yes. Mm-hmm.